This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
I forgot again to give baseball music. Remind me. I blame you, Nico. Remind me to remind you. It is opening day, and it's 1:05 in the morning. McMonagle here with you. Got you for another hour. Al Cintron will come your way at 2 o'clock. 3 o'clock, we will see the New York Yankees against the Milwaukee Brewers. And then at 4 o'clock, we will see the New York Mets and the first game with Juan Soto in a Met uniform playing the Houston Astros. The season is back. And, you know, Carlos Rodon, I'm going to get back to the Giants talk because I see a couple calls, and I'm still baffled. You know, me and Fleas were talking about it. We're just like, we're looking at, like, the idea they signed two quarterbacks has broken people. I don't understand why, like, but they signed two veterans, Chris. Which way did he go, George? I don't understand why that is so hard to fathom. That because they signed two veterans that were just completely taken off our games. We'll get more into that. I've yelled enough about that, but I'll take your calls. I see you guys. Just give me a second. I did just want to say one thing, because we talked mostly Mets in the first hour, and the anticipation of this season, the expectations of this season, the difference between this season and last season, and, you know, the idea that that fun year, as, you know, Jerry Seinfeld told me, that fun year is gone. And now it's heavy lies the crown. You want to be the big brother in this town, whatever that's worth, that's overblown. And I'm sure most Met fans don't necessarily subscribe to that, but the left fielder does in Brandon Nimmo, and clearly a lot of fans do, that they have taken over the town. This is the team of the city. They want to be the team of the city. Well, that comes with expectations. And now it's finally here, and all that noise, all that talk is gone. Now, today, it's just playing baseball. We don't have to worry about why Juan Soto is a Met. We don't have to worry about what was the real reason for Juan Soto being a Met. Why did he choose them over the Yankees? None of it matters anymore. The games start, and all that matters is how good of a Met is Juan Soto going to be? How much is he going to lead the charge and take this team back to the promised land, which it hasn't been since 1986? Like, that's all that matters now. But there is no There is no fun season. There is no falling on your sword against the Dodgers in six and feeling like, wow, you really have accomplished something. That's gone. That's gone. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. It means this franchise has finally found itself in stable footing with a very smart executive and a rich owner and a good manager and an excellent roster. And I'm starting to feel like the Met fan doesn't expect the shoe to drop at every turn. You're going into the season with anticipation and not really waiting for yourself to be devastated. Now, I heard Sal a little bit, even in the promo there, that we felt, the Met fans have felt like this at different times over the course of years. And, you know, they went to the World Series in 15, kind of, you know, somewhat unexpected. At least Noah Syndergaard really, you know, took off and made them a different team, as well as the young Michael Conforto and different things. But, and obviously, you know, trading for, Cespedes was obviously in the impetus of getting back to the World Series. And then 16, you made the playoffs, but ultimately losing the wild card round. And it's hard to put back-to-back playoff seasons together for the Mets. That's just the state of affairs. And so there's been promise, there's been years, most recently 2023, coming off an excellent 22 season where they faded down the stretch, blew the division to the Braves, and lost the wild card to Juan Soto and the San Diego Padres. And then 23, all the promise, and it fell short. But ultimately, this feels different. This feels like the owner has really got his footing now, 5 years in. They finally got the guy they want to run this franchise in Stearns after years of hiring, firing, you know, scandals and arrests and everything else that happened to all the GMs, and nobody wanted to take the job. Sandy Alderson had to come in holding the owner's hand to make sure, you know, everybody was okay with Steve Cohen being an owner inside Major League Baseball. Now he's here. He's made his presence felt. He's signed the biggest contract in the history of sports. They have the payroll they have. They have the team they have. They're coming off the success they had. They have the young executive. They're ready to roll. And now it's just a matter of winning the whole damn thing. Otherwise, it's failure. And welcome aboard. Enjoy it. Heavy lies the crown. And for the Yankees who've been wearing that crown for a long time, know how heavy it is. I'm interested in Carlos Rodon today. I really think, and don't get me wrong, losing Cole is a disaster. But as much as people were complaining about Max Fried, the morning show did a whole thing on it about how pitiful it is and stupid it is. And, you know, this Yankee fan base has had such a miserable offseason and spring training that they could use Max Fried, their brand new shiny toy, starting on opening day. I actually think it's brilliant to start Carlos Rodon because it's just enough pressure to be the opening day starter, Yankee Stadium, get the season going. It's just enough pressure to get an early feel on how Carlos Rodon is going to handle pressure, which is without question his biggest issue. Now, you go back 2 years ago when he first came here, the injury, never got it going. It was just an overall miserable season for him his first year in the Bronx. Let's just ignore that. You look at last year. He was a pretty damn good, solid pitcher. He had a stretch of four or five starts where he was god-awful and just had and couldn't find anything and was getting tattooed. But outside of that, and I know that's a significant number of starts when you only make 30, but outside of that, he pitched to an under 3 ERA and had a lot of really good starts for the New York Yankees. His problem is big game against the Red Sox, Sunday night baseball, struggles. Obviously, what we saw in the postseason. Big games, things go wrong. Suddenly, he turns into a pumpkin. He can't get through a start. That's without question his big issue. And I think opening day is just enough of a little bit of pressure, a little bit of added, you know, eyes, a little bit of added enthusiasm, a raucous crowd, opening day, getting the season started, starting at Yankee Stadium, all the money he makes. Opening day is just enough of a pressure to give him a little bit of a test early on to see how he can handle it, while also being not a devastating game where if they lose, it's opening day, you move on to Max Fried tomorrow. So I actually think it's a really good spot for Carlos Rodon to try and find out early on, you know, and again, if he throws a shutout, I'm not going to say, woohoo, he solved all his problems of the pressure. I feel great about him in a big game. Obviously not. But it'll be a nice little test just to set him on the right foot, and maybe it could be a mental thing for him, which I think he needs. A nice little mental pick-me-up, like, hey, this was kind of a big game, opening day, Yankee Stadium. Could have got booed out of the ballpark with a bad start. Everybody wanted somebody else to make it. Everyone wanted Max Fried. Everyone's worried about this rotation. You're a linchpin to this team. How you go, you could argue the Yankees go. You're so important to this team. And hey, you just had a great start on opening day, got us off to a good start. Pressure, all the eyes on opening day, throwing the first pitch of the season on ESPN, nationally televised game. Like, it's a good opportunity. And if he fails, it's opening day. You chalk it off. Let's see him in a week. So I think it's actually a good spot for Carlos Rodon. I'm looking forward to it. 888-808-1019. We'll get back to the baseball and we'll take your calls here. I do want to just take a couple of the football calls that were lingering. Jeff in Louisiana. What's up, Jeff?
Oh, hey, Chris. I just wanted to give you a little support. Just I wasn't going to call tonight because I called last night, but I listened to some of the callers in, and it's like, wow, I thought a contrarian point was needed. It makes sense to me to have signed both Wilson and Jameis Winston. I think the NFL has proven that quarterbacks can take a pounding. You can lose your starting quarterback.
Yep.
Through injury, and you need a good backup. And I think,
and not only that, you might not want to go. Like, they probably don't want to go to Sanders until he's ready. They don't want to throw. If Wilson goes down week two, they might not want to have to throw Sanders into the mix there, whoever they draft at three or in the first round. They might want to give him a little bit of a run as the backup quarterback for at least 7 to 10 weeks or so. And at least now, if something happens to Russ, you have another veteran quarterback who could step in and play, and you're not forced to start this thing early.
Absolutely, and beyond that, as you've pointed out multiple times, they don't know for sure that they're going to be able to draft Sanders. They might be
right
drafting one of the third-tier group, or second-tier group.
That, absolutely, and I think if you're looking for some sort of vision into their thought process with these moves, I think it speaks more to how they feel about the secondary crop of quarterbacks than it is how they feel about Shador or Cam Ward. Because they probably have a decent idea. Not like you have a better chance of getting one of these other quarterbacks. Certainly at three, you know you can get any of the other quarterbacks, right? It's not like you're worried about Jackson Dart getting taken second overall, maybe. But, you know, some people have him as the second best quarterback in this draft. But, like, if you knew you were going to be able to find a quarterback, you like two or three other guys, and you like the idea of taking one in the second round, you know, like, you probably, maybe you wouldn't do this. This is more of like, we're all in on Sanders. I don't know about the rest. Let me make sure I get two veterans and see what happens at three. Patrick from Poughkeepsie. What's up, Pat?
Hey, what's going on? First of all, I'm a Jet fan, but I just want to.
Well, what the hell are you on? Who says you have you? Who says you can have an opinion about this subject?
I told you, call screener. He put me through anyway. That's
we'll have to talk to him. He's learning.
Now, the reason I do agree that the Giants signing Wilson and Winston indicates that Joe Shane and Dable are coaching for their jobs. If they somehow get Shador Sanders and start him and go 5-12, they have an excuse. They're a young quarterback. That's the reason we were bad. They've got Wilson and Winston so they can switch back and forth to win as many games as possible. I don't think there's any way in hell, excuse my language, that any rookie sees the field for the Giants this year. But that's just my opinion.
Yeah, and thank you for the call, Pat. I appreciate it. I think there's a chance he sees. It's not Aaron Rodgers. I don't think there would have been a chance. Some other quarterbacks, obviously Matthew Stafford. I mean, I would think they wouldn't even draft a quarterback with Matthew Stafford. But if they did, certainly Matthew Stafford would have a year, probably two. But Russell Wilson at $10 million does not get up to that level where he's a quarterback you're not going to pull the plug on, like Kurt Warner with Eli Manning. The only thing I'll say is I tend to agree with you because if it's successful at all, if Russell Wilson or Jameis Winston or whomever is winning games at any kind of clip, like if they're 4-4 after 8 weeks, I don't think this owner would allow them to make the move. He's desperate for wins. He's desperate to have a relevant season. He's desperate to give the fans something. He wants to be in the mix, play meaningful games in December. I think it would be a real tough sell to go to John Mara and say, hey, look, I know we're 4-4 and playing relatively well, but I'm telling you, I've been working with Shador. I see him at practice. Like, I think he's ready to go, and I think we're best served getting him, you know, some games this year and then being ready to roll next year. I just can't think John Mara is going to punt on a season, or at least, you know, take the chance of losing with a rookie the way Eli Manning lost every game, every start the rest of that year up until the last game against the Cowboys when he won. I mean, they were 5-4 and went right in the tank with Eli. Now, obviously, it was the best thing for the franchise and served them well, and maybe Shador would do the same, but this owner is desperate right now, desperate for any kind of wins. So I don't know if he would, I don't know. I think there is a very good chance that Shador or whomever is drafted, either with the third pick, back end of the first if they trade up, or in the second round. I think there's a very good chance they sit the whole year, no matter what it looks like. But, I mean, well, I shouldn't say no matter what it looks like, because if it's bad, they'll go to him. But if it's good, I don't think they would move on from the veteran good quarterback play. But we would see. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Jimmy in Queens. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, Chris. Happy opening day.
Happy opening day. Let's go.
Yeah. I got to get to bed, but I wanted to call in, give you a bold prediction for the Mets this season.
Okay.
And kind of my expectations.
Expectations and bold prediction. Good.
Yes, yeah, so the bold prediction is that by July 1st, not July 31st, by July 1st, Sandy Alcantara will be a Met. I think it's the most obvious move for the Mets right now. They need that guy. Stern said he's willing to make a move like that. They tried to get Crochet. To me, it just makes so much sense.
So, I don't really remember. Did they try that hard to get Crochet? No, listen, not to even argue that point. I just don't remember it the way you said it, but that's fine. I wish they would have. One, it would have helped the Mets, and two, it would have kept them away from Boston. But I don't think you're wrong that they're going to be looking for top-of-the-rotation help come the trade deadline. I agree with you. And Alcantara is going to be available. The Marlins, you know, have no choice with where they are. They would have to be willing to move him anywhere for the best package. I don't think that's we don't want to move him in division. I don't think that's a worry for Miami if they provide the best package available, which the Mets have some pieces to move. I mean, you know, the owner has talked about the idea of prospects just recently, talking about prospects, and it's great to have him. It's also filling up the roster as well as being able to use them to get trade pieces. So I think, without question, the Mets would be open to trade for a top-of-the-rotation starter. I think it's their one number one gaping missing hole. Like, they are in need of a top front-of-the-rotation starter. I could see that. I don't know why you specify July 1st as opposed to the trade deadline, but I definitely could see that being a move. I think both teams will be in the trade market for a starting pitcher come the deadline, both the Yankees and the Mets. But I could see that. That's a good one. That would help them a lot. Now, look, he's had, obviously, you know, the ability is there. He's had some great years. Last year was a little bit of a down year for him coming off the injury. I still think he's an excellent starting pitcher and someone that they should absolutely go target. So that's a good one. I don't know why July 1st, but I definitely think they could use some pitching depth. And look, I would think they're all in, right? I would think with Stearns, you got to be all in. And they should attack this deadline if they feel they need to, which it's going to be hard to imagine they don't think they'll need to improve themselves. Because as much as you might be high on them, you got the Braves, you got the Dodgers, you got the Phillies, you got the Padres. Like, you have a lot of talent out there. You have two of the best teams in the league in your division of a very tough league. Like, they're going to be out there looking to improve themselves at the deadline. So, and I think that's, barring injury, where they should be looking.
Survivor 48 is here, and after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Take WFAN to church, just like your dad did. Download the free Odyssey app today and listen to The Fan.
First. But yes, this is obviously the famous 4th of July night game against the fireworks in Sandlot. So that song now always makes me think of baseball. That iconic scene where Benny hits the long fly ball and they all just get caught looking at the fireworks. Ham is running down the street with the hot dog. Classic. All right, so let's get into a little bit of predictions. Let's do it. Let's see how the season's going to play out here for the New York Mets and the New York Yankees. So let's start with the over-under for both teams. And by the way, just a reminder again, obviously opening day, Yankees 3 o'clock at Yankee Stadium. I believe the gates open at 1, but you can get listen and get a feel for what's going on there earlier than that, as the midday show, BT and Sal, will be there live from Yankee Stadium doing the show after being at the MLB Network yesterday. They'll be at Yankee Stadium doing the show. They'll talk to Aaron Boone, the manager, at 10, and they'll talk to Andy Pettit, who's throwing out the ceremonial first pitch, and they'll speak to him at 10:15. So you got it all right at the top of the show there. Lock in on the midday show. Get your feel for what Yankee Stadium is like today. Opening day, we are back. All right, so over under Mets and Yankees. The Yankee number is 89.5. The Met number is 90.5. And I got to be totally honest with you. They could be two of my favorite plays of any team in the league. I think both are extremely comfortable overs. I mean, I know the Mets play in a tough division. I get it. We're gonna go through that with predictions in a little bit. But I mean, I know, and I'm concerned about their pitching staff a little bit. This lineup is going to be devastatingly good. Juan Soto, Lindor, Alonso, the power, Vientos. Like, I really just think they're. I think we've gone over this for a bunch now with this team, both of these teams. I don't have to go into too much depth. We've talked about how much we like these teams or our issues with the teams. I still think you're going to get a good year from the back end of the bullpen. I think the rotation is probably going to be better than some people fear, myself included, but I am concerned about it. And I do think at the trade deadline, they'll attack it. They have prospects. They have, you know, added money for any salary dump or anything like that. And plus, like, I just think they will get whatever they need to help bolster this team, because now is the time. Last year wasn't. 2 years ago was the time to sell. Last year was the time to stand pat. This is now the time to do the moves to chase a championship. And I think they will go get any pitching they need. Obviously, the lineup of Juan Soto is devastating. And I just think there is something with this group. I think they like playing with each other. I think Mendoza has done an incredible job as the manager. Everybody wants to be there. Everybody's excited. Everybody believes. We've seen this before. I understand that, but still, 90 seems low. I know it's a tough division. They beat each other up, but it's not the balanced, it's not the unbalanced schedule it used to be. You only play the other team 13 times now, as opposed to it used to be 19. Plus, Miami's in there. Everyone's going to pound on them. So give me the over for the Mets. And then the Yankees, same thing. 89.5. I'm telling you, you look around the American League. I get it. I know the Yankees have their issues. I know that there is a world. Like the Yankee over-under, I don't even think it's a crazy number. I got to be fair. I don't know how much higher you would put it, but for me, 90 is a lock. So I would probably put it 91.5 if I was setting the line. That would make me uncomfortable with, like, being overly confident about the over. Probably 91.5, 92.5 would make me a little uncomfortable about taking the over. 89 doesn't. And I look around the rest of the American League. I know that they're dealing with injuries to the rotation, but I just think Max Fried is still an ace. Luis Gil is coming back. I do think Clark Schmidt last year pitched to an ERA under 3. Like, he's going to miss 2 weeks before he's back. Carrasco, I think, has found something here where he's going to give you a good month or two. And the Yankees themselves, they'll probably have to go out and find some pitching. They don't have a lot of depth inside the organization, so they'll probably have to go trade for something. But, you know, we'll see what's out there. But I think the rotation's fine to start the year. It was fine last year under the same conditions without Max Fried, an ace. And I just think this lineup still, there is a swing, there is no doubt. Like, if these young kids don't come through, if Volpe doesn't make this next step year three, if Dominguez struggles in left and you know, struggles at the plate and just isn't ready to take over left field for the New York Yankees, if Wells at leadoff struggles, like, there's no doubt. There is a way to see this team as an 85, 84 win team. If everything fails them, there is a version of that where the Yankees have a very similar team to what they had in 2023. I think that's a lot of things going wrong. Judge is still the best hitter in baseball. Bellinger is going to be part of my bold predictions here. I think Bellinger is going to have a monster year. I think the lineup presents a lot of speed. I think Jazz, who's obviously feeling himself, if you haven't seen the article that Jazz had in depth with Chris Kirschner of The Athletic, I think he's coming into his own. I think he's comfortable with the Yankees. I think he loves his teammates after having some real issues with that in Miami. And I think he was a great player for them in the second half last year, and I think he's going to have a really good year this year. I think the lineup presents a lot of different challenges. I think at the bottom there's a lot of speed. And plus, I also think the back end of the bullpen with Weaver and Williams is as good as any in the league. And then you look around the rest of the American League, it's a couple of teams in their division and the Rangers. Like, I think the Astros have taken a big step back. I don't think that anyone in the Central, as much as maybe the Kansas City Royals are on the rise, I don't think there's anybody that is far superior to them. I think they're going to win a lot of games, and I think they are a lock for 90 wins. This is what the Yankees do. And as long as Judge stays healthy, at some point they'll get back Stanton. I think Ben Rice is going to be a key part of this team. So, like, if every kid fails, if Jazz isn't what they hope, if Bellinger reverts back to the player he was at the end of his Dodger career, if Goldschmidt is an old bum, like, sure, this could be a really bad Yankee team where they could win 80 to 85 games. But I find that's too, everyone's like, oh, well, this has to happen right and this has to happen right. Only a couple of those have to happen right for me to still think they're a 90-win team. Everything has to go wrong to convince me otherwise. And right now, I just don't think everything's going to go wrong. I think for the most part, they've had a pretty good spring despite the injuries. And I think this team is an easy. If this was a 92.5 or so, I'd feel differently about it. I think both of these are guaranteed. I feel very comfortable with both overs. Fliegelman, you want to give me your versions of the over here before we get into some other things?
So, I mean, I'm not as comfortable on the Mets over as you are, but I think they're going to be in the low 90s wins. And mm-hmm. I agree with you. This is maybe not an all-in year, but this will be a year. David Stearns even talked about it on Sunday when he was on SNY and Gary Cohen asked him about some of the prospects. He was going over them individually, and he even said, I think this was about Jet Williams, whether these guys help us out on the major league roster or they help us in acquiring another player. David Stearns knows that the time is coming, not just to make a big move for what the major league roster needs, that they're about to have four or five guys who are ready to come up and debut at the same time. And obviously you don't have mm-hmm. room for them. So some of these guys are getting moved. There will be a move at some point this season to yep. beef up the rotation. I like where the Mets are. Both of these teams, I think, have high floors. Because the Mets are in such a competitive division, I don't feel as comfortable as they're over, but I would lean towards it. And I think the Yankees over is my favorite bet on the board.
Yeah.
Even with that number being lowered, obviously Gerrit Cole is a huge loss. I think all of the negativity and just all of the overreaction, it's gone too far into forgetting what the floor of this team is. Worst case, like you said, they're a 500 team. And I think they're better than that. They may not be a championship team, but this is still a weak American League. They're only, looking at the totals, maybe two teams I would argue that it's a decent bet betting they're over in the American League outside of the Yankees.
Yep.
They're not a 100-win team. And again, I'm not saying they would stack up well if they had to play a bunch of the top National League teams. But as far as the regular season goes, and that's something the Yankees thrive at, they know how to get through the gauntlet of the 162. Sometimes it's a detriment that they're built for that 162 and right. maybe not October, but they're still built to get through that 162. They have depth. As much as, you know, people are annoyed by him, Marcus Stroman is a pretty good fallback option, especially yeah. for the first 3.5 months of the season. They're going to win 90 games, no question in my mind. I think they're going to clear that by, you know, a good 4 to 5 games. So over 8.5 to me is a no-brainer.
Yep. I'm with you. I think that is one of my favorites. And then we can go to, before we get to our Met and Yankee predictions, just a couple. I'll give you a couple overs. I do think the Red Sox are one of those American League teams at 86.5. I really like the Red Sox over. I think they're the second best team in the American League. That pitching staff, they've dealt with some injuries to it, but, you know, Buehler and Crochet at the top. The offense that, you know, they even had last year, they added Bregman at third. Thank you. Bregman at third. They just announced that Devers is going to be the everyday DH. They're going to get better defensively. They've got a couple of big-time prospects. One, Campbell, has made the team to play second base. He's had a terrible spring, but that's how much they believe in him. How often do you see a top prospect have a terrible spring and still make the team? They think he's an absolute stud. I think offensively they're better. Pitching-wise, they're better. The bullpen scares me a little bit with Chapman in the back end. I still think the Yankees are the better team, but And as much as I joke about Alex Cora and how much people love him, I think he gets a little too much credit as the best manager in baseball, or some people would say that, or far better than Aaron Boone. I do think he's a pretty damn good manager. And I just think that this team is, after a couple of years of being down, I do think they are one of the better teams in the American League. I like the 86.5 over for the Sox. I like the under for Houston at 87.5. I think this is the year they really struggle. Their pitching has issues. Right now, the lineup, obviously you lose Bregman, you lose Tucker. They're playing Altuve in left field. It just doesn't feel like an Astros team. I just have a feeling in that division, which isn't that tough. You do get the tough pitching from Seattle. I do think the Rangers can be pretty damn good. But ultimately, and I think Oakland's going to be better. I might even dabble on the Oakland 71.5 over. I think Oakland could be better this year. But I just see the Houston Astros is down this year, under 87.5. Well, some other ones I liked. The Reds, 78.5. The number's a little higher than I thought it would be, but I love the Reds this year. I don't know why. Again, Terry Francona is one of the best managers in the history of the game. I think Terry Francona is just an incredible manager. I think he's going to have those young kids hyped up. I think they've got a superior. They've got an unbelievable talent, Ellie De La Cruz. They got a legitimate ace at the top of the rotation in Green. I like this team a lot in a lousy National League Central that I just have no faith in anybody else. I might go Reds over 78.5, the A's over 71.5 in that division. I don't think it's very good. And plus, just they have a couple of guys who can really bang. They got, Langoliers is the catcher who really can hit. Brent Rooker, what's the other star's name? The outfielder, I can't think of his name right now. They've got a couple of guys you could really hit. The pitching is the issue there, but I think Severino has found himself and he'll be able to give them something. They've got Miller at the back end as a closer. I think they got a legitimate chance to win more than 71.5 games. And then if I'm going to take one of the big unders, I'll go Miami under 63.5. It's an impossible division. They're with the Mets, they're with the Braves, they're with the Phillies. They have no pitching. They might trade away Alcantara halfway through the year. Give me Miami under 63.5. So I got Houston under 87.5, Miami under 63.5, the Red Sox over 86.5, and the Reds over 78.5. You got any over-unders there? I know we didn't talk about this, but if you're able to do it.
Yeah, I'll go a couple away from you. The one I'll just say, I'm so thrilled I bet that Red Sox number. A lot of them I don't like to bet early in spring because you never know what's going to happen with injuries.
Yeah.
That was one of the two bets I
made. What'd you get it at?
I got it at 84.5. Okay. So it's not a big difference, I feel better about that one. I agree with you on the Reds. They dealt with so many injuries last year. The Marlins, that seems obvious because I debated the Nationals over. I think they can be a sneaky good team. But my biggest ones, and some of them are kind of tied into being in the same divisions, I like the D-backs over, and I also like the Padres under. Mm-hmm. There's going to be one team in that core. You look at the six National League teams that might not be in the mix, and just everything with the stories from this offseason about the ownership and the future of the payroll, I think the Padres, even if they're kind of close, if they're around that last wild card spot, I think they're going to sell. I think they want to get what they can for Cease, for King, and move on. So they're the team I look to go under right now. Their total is around 85.5, and the D-backs over 86.5. The pitching's going to be better. The offense last year was the best in baseball. They're obviously not going to challenge the Dodgers for the division or anything like that.
Right.
But I think they're going to be a clear playoff team. And then another one, it ties into liking the Red Sox. One team in the AL East has to finish below 500.
Yeah.
You would think by a couple games. I think the Blue Jays are improved. So to me, that team is the Rays.
Okay.
They were not very good last year. Like every offseason, they didn't do anything to improve.
Right.
McClanahan goes down the other day. I know it's not considered a long-term injury right now, but they're going to lose guys. And I was trying to avoid the two teams playing in the minor league stadiums because it could be so weird with the A's and the Rays.
Yeah.
But I'm so tempted. You made a great case for the A's why they should be an over.
Yeah.
The one I like a little more is the Rays under, just because I think they are clearly the fifth best of the five teams in the AL East. And I think three of those five are pretty good, 85 to 95 win teams in the Orioles, Red Sox, and Yankees. And the last one I'm just going to throw out there, the Pirates under. I think there's way too much hype around it. And Paul Skeens deserves all of it.
Yeah.
The rest of that team stinks.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Even in a weak division, and again, I like the Reds, So if a team that is going to maybe take a little bit, the number is right around where they were last year.
Right.
I don't think they're a better team. Sure, they'll have schemes a little bit longer, mm-hmm. but the rest of that team is still so bad. Even in a weak division, give me the Pirates under. And it's, I mean, for them, 77.5, that's just too high.
Yep. Yeah, I want to root for the Pirates, but I don't disagree. I think Cincinnati steps up. Milwaukee's always better than you think. So I could see that in that.
I think I forgot one. The rain, because you like the Astros. I agree with you. I don't want to bet against them.
Yeah.
I love the Rangers over. I think they have enough depth.
I didn't write it down. What's the Rangers number?
It is 86.5 or 85.5.
85.5.
I think they're going to win that division. I don't believe in the Mariners.
Not
so the Rangers are the team to me.
All right, and then we get to pretty much, I mean, we don't have to go through the whole playoffs. I want to get back to the calls, but just where we think the Mets and the Yankees are going to finish this year. So we both have them as both of us agree on the overs. I think the New York Yankees are going to win the American League East with 93 wins. 93 wins, they win the American League East, and I also think they have the exact same finish as they did last year, where they get to the World Series and they lose. I think the New York Yankees are the best team in the American League. I have them back in the World Series. I don't think anybody is significantly better than them. We'll see what the Rangers do. We'll see if DeGrom is a Cy Young caliber pitcher again. Last year, their offense completely went in the toilet. They're already not bringing up terrible with names at 4 o'clock in the morning, although it's only 1:44. Their star, Young, or what's his name? I don't know. But they're not bringing him up already. He's struggling. They've had a couple of guys underachieve offensively last year. They were a nightmare. I'm not ready to say they're better. I don't think, as much as I trust the top of the rotation for the Royals, and I think that, you know, that lineup can be dangerous, and certainly they have an MVP candidate in Bobby Witt Jr., I don't think they're ready to beat the New York Yankees. To me, it's the division, and I think they're the best team in that division. I still think that they have a lineup that can do a lot of damage. I have the Yankees back in the World Series. And then we get to the Mets in the National League. And unfortunately, I kind of have similar feelings for both seasons where I kind of see repeats of last year. I think the Mets are going to win around 92-93. I think they're going to be one of the wild card teams. I love Philadelphia. I think they just... And the Braves are really good, too. I think it's a hard division to win. I think one of them is going to have a better year than the Mets. I just have a feeling with their pitching. The Philadelphia had such a great year last year. Their rotation is so, you know, Wheeler at the top. They've really established the power, what they do there. I think they have a good manager there. I think they just have a solid team that's probably going to find a way to win the division again. And I feel like the Mets are a 93-win team, wild card team, back in the NLCS and losing to the Dodgers, and the Dodgers beat the Yankees in the World Series as well. I knew you thought I was going to give the Yankees the World Series championship. I'm not.
You were tempted.
I was tempted, but I think we actually see the exact same scenario we saw last year. I think the Mets are in the NLCS. I think they lose to the Los Angeles Dodgers, who, if you think about it, the reason I'm picking the Dodgers again, and we haven't seen a repeat champion since the 2000 Yankees, they had such bad luck with injuries last year. Now, I know they're dealing with it a little bit now with Mookie Betts, but their rotation was in shambles. Freddie Freeman was hobbled through the National League playoffs before finding it in the World Series. Ohtani hurts his shoulder in the World Series. I mean, they had all kinds of issues and still made it through. I can't imagine the rotation having as much of an issue. I think that pitching staff is going to be far better than it was last year. I think they are a powerhouse of a team. I think the Ohtani contract has set them up for the next couple of years being a dominant force, and I just still see, I hate to do it, we're going to be trying to beat them all year, but I got to tell you what I think is going to happen. I think the best team in the National League is the Dodgers, and I think the best team in the National League, in the American League, is the Yankees. I think we have a repeat World Series after the Mets losing in the NLCS, and I think the Dodgers beat the Yankees again in the World Series.
So, I mean, the real prediction has to be the Dodgers, because I don't know how you can pick against them right now.
I want to have fun, but I just don't know how I can.
But as you know, we don't have to get into it on the air. I literally got hit by a truck this morning, so yes. I'm trying to think, what is the baseball kind of version of that for this season? And losing, if you're a Mets fan, losing to the Dodgers in the NLCS would be disappointing, but ultimately you look at that team and say, well, they're just so much better on paper than everybody else. So that's not what would hurt the most. And I do think the Yankees, regardless, are a... I have both teams like you at 93 wins. I want to not have them at the same record.
Yeah.
But I think they are. Yankees win the division. Mets finish in second behind the Braves. I think the Braves win in the high 90s, so it's not even like something that comes down to the final series. The Braves win it comfortably enough. I have the Mets beating the Dodgers in the NLCS.
No, you don't.
But...
Well, you're not going to finish this
for the
this
purpose
up.
Of
no,
this.
No, 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 no. I don't mean that.
And not to the Yankees in the World
Series.
Okay,
that's what I thought you were giving me.
I mean, that would obviously be, you know,
Not that you, when I said no, you don't, I didn't mean you don't have them beating the Dodgers. I meant, I thought you were going to give me losing to the Yankees in the World Series.
No, no, but I'll give you something, like, it won't be the same kind of pain, but it would, because the most deflating thing that could come out of this season is you beat that Goliath, you beat that incredible Dodgers team,
right?
And still don't, you know, that's like, you know, if the U.S. in 1980 lost the gold medal game, or the Mets after game six in 86 ended up losing game seven,
right?
They beat the Dodgers in the NLCS and lose to, while like I like the Red Sox over this year, I think everybody's a year ahead of them on a World Series team. I'm gonna go with a team that I think people were a year too early on last year, because I think this team is gonna add at the deadline. I believe in the lineup. I think the bullpen is better this year, so I can forgive the fact that they don't have a lot to believe in the starting rotation. I think the Orioles will beat the Mets in the World Series. And that'll be, again, if you're the Mets and you're a Mets fan, this is I can see the smile on your face. You beat the Dodgers, and it means nothing.
Yeah, that would be rough. And losing to the Orioles, that doesn't make
the Dodgers
me smile.
Over whoever wins the AL.
Yeah. No, yeah, I think even I would have to agree with you. Whoever comes out of the NL is going to be the heavy favorite in the World Series. As of right now, we'll see how it plays out. But I do think, even as a Yankee fan, I think you have to admit, on paper right now, they're not better than the Dodgers, they're not better than the Mets, they're not better than the Phillies, and they're not better than the Braves.
Like you said, the Dodgers' injury luck last year
was so bad.
Was awful, and they still won the World Series.
If they won it as a full squad, I might be able to convince myself to pick against them. But the fact that they did it undermanned the way they did, I have a real tough time picking against them. So I was going to go with, do I have something fun or do I give what I honestly think? And I honestly think that the Yankees are the best team in the American League and that the Dodgers are the best team in the National League and clearly the best team in baseball. So unfortunately for Yankees, I could see a reverse 77-78 back-to-back World Series losses to the Los Angeles Dodgers. And for the Mets, yeah, I agree with you. I don't feel very strong about the Phillies winning division. I think one of those two teams, when it comes to the starting pitching, I just think that it's unlikely for one of them not to win the division. I think the Mets just aren't there with the pitching right now. We'll see how it goes. If they're as good as they were last year with the rotation, then I think they can and will win the division. I just have a hard time envisioning that. So For the starting rotation, and really the starting rotation alone, I have them as the one of the wild card teams. Could possibly even be behind both of them, but they will be in the postseason. And I do like them in the postseason because of their track record and Juan Soto. So we'll see, but that's it. So Fleegs has the Mets beating the Dodgers, getting to the World Series for the first time since 2015, and then losing to the Baltimore Orioles, which would make me sick to my stomach. Believe me, I wouldn't be happy about that. And then I have the Yankees.
That's why
losing.
You smile through the entire thing.
I didn't, but I thought you were going to say something else. You had me off.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
He's homered. Derek Jeter homers to tie the game. And there it is. Hit number 3,000.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, real quick, 1:54, McMonagle here with you. I want to get, you guys are on hold here. I want to get as many calls as we can before the top, and Al Cintron comes your way. So let's do a little rapid fire at 1:54. Bobby in Sound Beach. What's up, Bobby?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, buddy.
Couldn't agree with you more. I think that over is a lock for the Yankees. I'm going 95 wins because of the division because of the rest of the league. I think they win pretty easy, 4 or 5 games. They win the division, and they do get to the World Series. I wouldn't say the Mets. I'd feel more uncomfortable with that at that win. I think they could go over, but I think they're in third place really in that division. And I agree with you completely about Rodon starting. I think it's a great confidence. You could say he's more important. I mean, Fried, you got to just hope figure he's going to be what he is. Rodon, if he you know, gets the confidence, he's probably the most important piece of that rotation. If he ends up winning like 16 games and pitching well.
Listen, if you, and thank you for the call, Bobby. I'm going to try and get to other calls. If you told me, like if you made an argument and said, Chris, I'm going to tell you right now the most important player on the New York Yankees this year, just flat out the most important player on the New York Yankees this year is Carlos Rodon, I think that you have a valid point. That's how, you know, that's how integral he is. That's how important he is. There's no doubt he could absolutely be one of the most important players, if not the most important player on the team. Rich in West New York. What's up, Rich?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good, how are you doing?
I was calling you. I heard you talking about the Sandlot real quick, and I was, I don't know if you were aware, you know, the young man that played Benny. He's actually a fireman in the LA department.
The guy who played the main character, Benny the Jet Rodriguez?
Yes, the kid.
I didn't know that, because he was also in some of the
he's a fireman.
Mighty Duck. He was in the Mighty Duck movies, too.
So correct.
He's a fireman now in New York City?
In L.A.
Oh, in L.A.
L.A. And then his brother...
I'm sorry, we're up against it. Nick, real quick, what's going on, man? You ready for opening day?
Oh, I'm ready for opening day. What's going on? How are you?
Good, man. Real quick, just one comment.
Yeah, I would just like you to walk me through why you're so confident that the Yankees are going back to the World Series.
I'm sorry, I don't have time to walk you through why I'm so confident. That I don't have time for. Because I think they're the best team in the American League. But I did go through it a little bit and go back on the podcast. You can go back and check it on the Odyssey app and the Rewind feature. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Let's enjoy opening day. Nico, Fleegs, thank you. Rami, thank you. Thank you guys for calling again and listening. Enjoy the rest of your day. Let's get ready for baseball. It's back. It's back. Let's go, Yankees. Let's go, Mets. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.